SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website as well, stevebick.com. Midweek, looking forward to some draws around the country for the weekend. But, of course, the focus really going to start to shift today when Steve Haskin joins us. We touched a little bit, if you're just listening to the replay, if you're one of those that gets, you know, part of the replay and then part of the next day live, you just heard the visit with Jeremy and just touching a little bit on the LeCompte. And it is deep and contentious. In fact, I just looked minutes ago actually for the quick sheet, which I use as the cover from DRF, and had not seen that one was up yet when it comes to the line. I wanted to see, and I'm going to go back and check and maybe reprint the PPs to see if they are. And they indeed they are. They're on the PP, so they just haven't probably today. Wednesday for the Thursday edition, I imagine. They'll have all the selections, but most importantly, the morning lines. And I was curious to get in there and see what, you know, what the decisions were on the morning line. And here we have it. So I can thumb through quickly. Plus K Parfait, 9-2. And that actually, given the size of this field, I did see where Marcus was made a comment about the about what the line added up to. War of Will, 6-1 for Cassie and Gary Barber, and the other single digit, Mr. Money, 5-1, the Brett Calhoun for Allied Racing, the Golden Sense Colt, and Tackett, the Stidham, on the two race win streak, the maiden win, and then coming back with the allowance score, both at Fairgrounds after debuting at Laurel, and Tackett, 6-1. So there's your four favorites, more or less, and starting at 9-2, 9-2, 5-1, 6-1, and 6-1, and then it gets up 8-1, tight 10, fifth choice. So five horses in single digits to start the bidding. Manny Wah, who, as we talked yesterday a little bit with, you know, you just heard we talked about the pace, and Manny Wah 10-1. This could be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And I do see that on the outside, the 14, Robbie Alvarado for Dale Romans, and the Albaz at Meyer, 20-1. I'm going to take a long look at the last out maiden winner, when going back to Churchill on Stars of Tomorrow weekend. Speaking of the Albaz, by the way, and Dale Romans, since we just stopped there for a second, have you looked today at Gulfstream? Gulfstream's seventh race today. I know I've got it here. The seventh race today at Gulfstream. It does feature the Albaz and Dale Romans. But what's special about it? And you know that I carry on about Hollywood Story. How about the half brothers running against each other? There's nothing better in racing than siblings showing up in the same race. Hollywood Star, the 4-year-old, makes his seasonal debut for the Albaz and Dale Romans, and Hollywood Strike, the 6-year-old, that George Kerkorian still owns, that Michael Matz trains. So the half brothers, the 4 and 6 year olds out of Hollywood Story, are in that 7th race today. And we still have to catch up with Sheriffs because I want to find out about the 3 year old out of Hollywood Story. It's Hollywood Story all the time. I got a big kick out of that. There's also a decent 9th race feature. The late sequence at Gulfstream today. There's that 7th race. There's a maiden 50 that follows. And then there's a 1 mile filly and mare second level allowance that's pretty good. 9-2, Brendan Walsh, Leslie May for Stone Street. And this is that Tappet filly that came up with Brendan, you know, back in December, as it happens. She was second that ahead of that race and when we talked. And then she, basically the same race. Tweeting in here for George Navarro and Imaginary Stables. 8-5 favorite. Dropping out of the Rampart. Then you got Mott with Golden Award. Harvey Clark bred, but owned by Jane Lyon. And Golden Award, 2-1. This is a good race. There's a good group of 7 fillies and mares in that 9th. So if you're looking to play later, Tampa and Gulfstream, and actually I'll give you the quick rundown. Charlestown, Delta, Mahoning Valley, Penn, Turf Paradise, and then the 2 Florida tracks. And since we went into the day-to-day racing discussion, how about yesterday? I hope you hit with that conversation that we touched on. Tuesday, money made on Tuesday, it's just as valuable as money made on Saturday. That's my theory. The 2 John Service runners in that 3rd race at Parks in the maiden special, and it was the first-time starter, the one that we talked about, sibling to Your Flame and Me, the stake runner, the gemologist, the homebred from Shirley Lejeski, and Eric Lopez gets his first win of the year. He's only had 13 mounts so far this year, and Lopez gets his first win. And not only did the winner pay a nice 11.80, flat out flashy. The flat out on the rail that we felt was the price to consider runs second at 10-1. It was a $40 exacta for a buck. So using the 2 services and flat out flashy, that worked quite nicely yesterday. And I know a couple people got involved. And then at Sunland, those 2 interesting Todd Fincher runners, and the same thing happened at Sunland a little bit. The longer price, slightly, because they were both even money, close to even money. They more or less vied for favoritism. But Sheriff Brown, the runaway ghost sibling, in his 3rd career start. The new gelding, and they were both new geldings. Tizzezzi, also a new gelding, ended up 4th in here and really didn't offer much of a involvement, really didn't rally, kind of just went around. But Sheriff Brown, who came in with a bullet, the homebred Curlin, and the half to runaway ghost. And in fact, I had meant to see if Runaway Ghost, we were potentially going to reach out to Todd Fincher. We'll see what we can find out about where things stand. I have not, you know, ever since he got hurt, and don't know if that ended his racing. Never saw anything subsequently, right? We'll check right here and find out right away. Let's see what we can discover about Runaway Ghost. And speaking of horses that we thought had gotten hurt and might not ever see again. Did you see the little blurb about Vijak? How great is this? Vijak, who in fact the name came up in the last couple of weeks when we talked about headgear and you know, the opportunity for horsemen to utilize bits and you know, the ways to control horses. And Vijak famously, you know, with the Hackmore bit that provided more control to, you know, when he was younger and a bit of a runoff, the idea or the thought was that he was going to be retrained. They thought that he had a suspensory issue, so they turned him out. He went back to the Brogdons and to Mackmore Hall, and they were, and this, we've heard this before. This is one of those stories. This happened with Miesque's approval going way back. You know, watching him gallop and said, there's nothing wrong with this horse. And sure enough, it turned out it wasn't a suspensory at all. He had a little splint issue and feeling good. They had him evaluated by Dr. Bramlage. Bramlage gave him the all clear. He's back with Phil D'Amato. So we may get Vijak. He's 9 years old, and you know, he's had just a terrific career, and you're going to see him on the racetrack at some point soon. So if you didn't see that piece, I was doing some sales breeding stuff, and I saw that Nicole Russo had written this blurb about Vijak coming back. Back to Runaway Ghost. In fact, he worked out just the other day at Sunland. He's going 5 and 6 furlongs, and so I would think that he is close to a start. Not seen since winning the Sunland Derby, of course, and the disappointment not being able to participate in Derby, but it looks like he's close to a start. In the meantime, his brother, his younger 3-year-old brother, is also a winner, Sheriff Brown. So there's your news. So that was a productive, it was fun. That's why you comb through PPs, poke around and see what you can find. Similarly, tomorrow at Tampa, there's a horse that I'm going to be interested in watching. Owen Hardy, who's been killing it all winter at Tampa. Owen Hardy, 5 wins in 24 starts. He's got that nice horse. In fact, we should get an update too on that early season winner, that maiden winner, the Godolphin winner. But he's going to debut Journeyman tomorrow, an Animal Kingdom out of the absolutely wonderful Toucharmon, who was fabulous. I don't know how many times. You know what? Andy's going to be on. Andy's going to be on tomorrow. That's a horse. If I bring up, Andy will give you a chapter and verse. The late Bob McNair, trained by Ron McAnally. What a nice horse she was. Oof. Just trying to pull her up. Let's see. Del Mar Oaks. The Wilshire. The Galaxy Stakes. Keeneland. The Matriarch 2000. The San Gorgonio. And she ended her career in the Dahlia. So what was that? Six graded stakes. 1.7 million in earnings. Toucharmon. And I don't, you know, has she had a nice, I don't think she's been a big producer, has she? We'll poke into that. Speaking of producing, I'm just rambling here. Sid Fernando, 10 o'clock. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And I got to get John on. as well. John Secura owes us a visit, going back to November, for God's sakes. And what else today? Pete Fornital next. Alan Foreman. Alan's going to join us. No jurisprudence today. No Department of Justice. No legal wranglings. No law blog. No, we're going to talk. I don't know if should I slip the new? It's not a ground shaking, groundbreaking. But the match series, we're going to go through the new format, a little bit of a wrinkle, and it looks tremendous. It's going to start in April, so Alan Foreman later. Steve Haskin today instead of tomorrow, because he's going somewhere, I think, tomorrow. What did he? I don't know what he told me. Seth Merrow, who is probably still drunk from the Syracuse win over Duke the other night. We will celebrate the Saltine Warriors, the Orange Blob. Seth later. Take a break. Pete's next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get 5 full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for 5 of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. And I'm just looking at a couple of notes, and our man Chad Schexnader down in New Orleans, listening to the LeCompte conversation, and he's warning that there may be a horse running Thursday at Fairgrounds tomorrow that may leapfrog everybody in this group at LeCompte. So we will take a gander. Hadn't gotten to the Fairgrounds Thursday. Maybe Marcus Stu can chip in. But we wait for Pete. He's going to join us momentarily. We'll take a look at who's hidden in the buried treasure potentially here. I appreciate the heads up, Chad. But let's see who exactly he might. Oh, the Cornacchia, maybe the Brad Cox, maybe that who's who he's excited about. Sure, the Gainsway, the homebred, the Tappet, and coming off that nice maiden win, exciting maiden win on that big day that we talked about. You remember that we had that fun with Marcus going over that amazing card. Yeah, this and there's also Gunnett in that race too. So very, very nice heads up. Just six horses, and this feels like the racing office accommodated to some degree. Cassie's got Blockbuster in there too for Jack Oxley. This is a Medaglia d'Oro out of an Elusive Quality mare, the $450,000 Phasic Gulfstream sale purchase from last year. So very much a race to watch. And Dallas has got Frolicmore as well, who broke the maiden in November at Churchill and faced some good ones on the way, including Signalman. Was in the two of them debuted together. Limonite out of that race as well. So something to, boy, this has been a fruitful week, even though we had a fairly quiet weekend last weekend. Pete Fornatale, it's never quiet in the Pete Fornatale world. There's the new podcast, and there's all kinds of craziness going on. The runs across the pond, and I'm sure you're breathlessly watching for today's no confidence vote.
There's a lot of crazy stuff going on over there politically, that's for sure. It's all that anybody wants to talk about. I want to know who's going to win the next at Southall. They want to talk about no confidence votes. I gotta get everybody in gear. A little quieter here at the moment. We don't have the six-year-old running off today while we try to do some radio. That always makes life a little bit easier, and always fun to come on and talk with you, Steve.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, we mentioned the new and burgeoning podcast before we talk. I guess we can merge the conversations, too, about the contest world, because the most recent one that you're obviously excited, and you were kind of hinting around a visit from the Maven. And indeed, after Dave Goodfriend sealed up the tour, you had a sit down with him, and I don't know if we should call it explosive, but it's certainly provocative.
I actually thought he was restrained, given some of the stuff I've heard, some of the terms in which I've heard Dave talk about some of these industry issues, and he takes some shots. There's no doubt. There's some folks on the receiving end of some things. But it's mostly just a very frank conversation, and I think he comes off as somebody who's very passionate, who's been on this journey in racing that unfortunately has sort of led him through the fire and to this place where now he participates not because of any love, simply because this is his skill set and he has an opportunity to make money specifically in handicapping tournaments. And he's somebody who had a lot of ideas about how to make things better and put a lot of time and energy into trying to make things better. And is kind of done with all that and interested in just speaking his mind. And as he said, he took the baby face approach, to use a professional wrestling analogy, the babyface approach to making change for a lot of years, and now he's in straight-up heel mode. And I think that shows sometimes in some of his interactions and comments on Twitter and whatnot. But I thought he was very, very reasonable. I expected more. I expected more in terms of fireworks, but that's not a complaint. I think what replaced that was some very reasoned conversations, not just about how, you know, maybe various organizations within the industry could do a better job, but also some really good advice for contest players. I mean, he doesn't fully open the kimono, as it were, but I think he gives a lot of advice to put you on a path if you're a contest player looking to become more successful, or if you're somebody from the world of horse playing, proper horse playing, or however you want to characterize it, who's thinking about contests. So I have had more feedback on this interview, Steve, really, than any I've ever done in all the time I've been, in the 4 years I've been doing podcasts. It's been mile a minute. So folks want to check out what everybody's talking about, you can find it on my Twitter. You can go to my blog page, inthemoneypodcast.com. It's a nice hour with me and JK and the artist formerly known as the Maven, Dave Goodfreund, our new NHC Tour champion. And just that story of how he managed without, you know, to come out of retirement, basically. Though he says he was never retired from tournaments, but I don't know. I hadn't seen him in a while, and then all of a sudden, there he is on an amazing string of five. Improbable story, but one of the great stories in tournaments that I've covered in my time in the game. Folks should definitely check it out, inthemoneypodcast.com.
Well, and as part of the conversations and the, you know, the ebb and flow of his own interests in the game, I mean, he's always been very frank about his own, you know, his own personality and some of his antics that he recognized. I remember when he came back from, you know, from his time abroad, actually, and he had had a much more subdued way about him, and
yes,
a little bit more self-aware.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I first interviewed him in 2003 for the book that I did with Frank Scatone, Six Secrets of Successful Bettors, I mean, it was almost, he was so into the Maven persona at that point. And I do think professional wrestling is like a pretty good analog here. It was almost like, is this guy for real? I mean, there's a quote in that book where he literally says, you know, when I win the NHC, not if, when I win the NHC, by the way, apparently he meant NHC Tour, but, I mean, he spoke about it in those terms, and then talking to him years later, I remember him being, we reconnected after not talking for a while, and I remember him being almost like embarrassed by the bluster from that initial interview. And I don't know if he's going through something similar now, if it's an ebb and flow situation, but I mean, he's a complicated guy. Dave Goodfreund contains multitudes, folks, and I think there's a reason why he wanted to get away from that Maven moniker and that character. I don't think he wanted that to sort of define who he was. But I think it's also hard because, like all good wrestling gimmicks, the gimmick is really just an exaggerated extension of who you really are if it's a good gimmick. So that character is still in him. And some people have seen that side of him and will say, I've defended him at many points. They'll say, well, you know, he called this nice old lady this mean name. Like, how could that be a good guy? And I'm like, I know it sounds crazy, but beneath it, he is a good guy. He's a fascinating character, and I'm you know, I'm glad to call him a friend.
Well, I will look forward to not only listening but to seeing Dave and Vegas. You know, he'll be one of the names on the board to watch, and certainly, you know, certainly one of among many. And we'll see what Tony Neville wants to do with the odds if he feels like Dave's coming in hot. he might be among the lower priced selections.
He has to be among the favorites coming in there playing for, on the streak he's on, playing for the $6 million in various bonuses from winning contests at Hawthorne and winning the tour itself. He is going to be the guy that all eyes in the contest world are on out there in Vegas. It's going to be a great story to follow. And you know, who better than him with far more tournament experience, I think, than anybody, because you don't just have the horse racing angle, you have the poker angle with him. So here's a guy who's been on televised final tables before. If there's anybody who, you know, the pressure ain't going to be a problem. The pressure is just going to feed him. He's just got to get, you know, have the way that it happens in horse racing, the various tumblers align. But I mean, he's drawing live for sure, and it's going to be a very fun story to follow.
And I'm just reaching for my NHC fact sheet, you know, the booklet, and because I'm curious now, since we're in this arena, and he's listed from last year, but without the Q&A, and I was hoping that it would list his highest previous finish.
He finished
the teens.
Like, was it sixth 2 years ago? I don't think he even qualified last year. I think that was in the midst of the retirement.
So maybe it was two years ago.
Years
you're right.
Ago. He was okay. He was the leader, I think, going into the last day. But his, in terms of scoring, he's in the top five all time in terms of not money won, but just scoring at the event. He's had deep runs before. The tournament, he's just so good at the game theory, tournament theory, that he's the right combination, I think, of a value-oriented player and a selection-oriented player to really exceed and excel in an event like this. The format suits him. So you know, there's a little bit of a horse for course angle as well when it comes to Dave Goodfriend and his chances at this year's NHC.
Has he revealed the jerseys that he will bring to Vegas?
Oh man, I missed that question. I thought it was such a good interview I did, and I absolutely missed. I want to know when he was sweating Paul Sherman in the online contest on the last day. Did he break out the Makita? I don't know. Was it somebody from, you know, an '80s Arsenal player? What did we have going on? I'll leave that one for you to ask him when you have him on, Steve.
Very good. We will do that. And are there other stories to be told from the final? You know, the final scoring?
I mean, I feel like any conversation about this year's NHC Tour should, as more than a footnote, talk about Paul Sherman and the amazing run he had. I mean, this was a lightning strike from Goodfreund with to have the five wins. If any of those is a second, he doesn't get it done. Paul at Hawthorne had a long-priced winner, but ran first and third in the exact that he played. That would have got him. I mean, Paul, in many ways, and with the zero offense meant to Dave, obviously, Paul was meant to win this year. He had a winning year. He played well enough that he should be the first ever two-time NHC Tour winner. There's not really too many folks more respected than Paul Sherman in the contest world, and somebody like Goodfreund from that I've known from way back and was one of the real shepherds helping me through in writing the winning contest player and also in my early days at DRF, making sure, you know, I knew the right stories to follow and understood what was really going on. And I just feel like he deserves major props for the year that he had on the tour. I wish there could have been two winners because they both deserved it and they'd both be absolutely great stories. But Paul understands, and both of them, it's interesting to talk to them about how hard the sweating is and how much harder it is to be the one in the lead as opposed to be the one who's chasing. Just in emotional terms, both of them talked to me at great length about that. But the other story that needs to be remembered from this year's NHC Tour is Paul Sherman's amazing run.
Well, another of the favorites, and I, in my my deep reserves of paper that Tina says I never look at. I have just discovered. In fact, Dave Goodfriend led going into the finals, and he was the leader 2 years ago. That of course Paul Matisse ultimately wins, but the $237 bankroll among when we had reduced to the 10%, the top 10, the last 63 players on the final day. So that was his last big run.
And I think he ended up, I think he said on the show, cashing for nearly six figures. So I'm guessing that's a top six finish he ended up with, or maybe top five. It's an amazing run that he's had, and I'm excited. He cited an article by Jason Beam about poker and horse racing tournaments. I actually haven't even had a chance to catch up with this article yet, but it's something I think listeners will probably be interested in, that he said he didn't want to give away his strategy of how he approached tournaments during that run of being able to win the five in a row, but he said that folks might be able to glean something about it from reading the Jason Beam article. And Jason will be on the In the Money podcast on Friday ahead of the Beamy Awards. Always fun to catch up with him. I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about poker and a lot about internet horse racing silliness. I think those are probably the top two topics for the podcast that we're going to record tomorrow, and will probably go up early on Friday.
Well, we should probably, before we talk about what lies ahead, we should touch on, and I'm going to pull it up, the leaderboard, because beyond Dave and Paul Sherman, Phil Lamb ends up third. And in terms of points, Gutfriend 24,123, Sherman 23,425, Lamb 22,460, Carey ended up fourth and just nipped by Phil Lamb for fourth or for third. Kevin Willett was fifth. The rest of the top ten, Joe Pettit, another familiar name, Dave Nichols, Dave Snyder, Chris Podratz, Brent Sumja. We'll go a few more, actually. Bill Rendino, Alan Levitt, Trey Stiles, Kevin Engelhart, Ty Hoffman, who we know, and Tim Yoler, Jim Bennis, Mike Ferrazzo, Richard Nilsson, and Nick Fazzolari round out the top 20. There's your tour leaderboard.
That's a who's who right there. You've got former champions and names that you just see. Well, obviously, if they're on the tour leaderboard, right, they're on a lot of top fives throughout the year. It's a great group of players, and they'll be having that contest amongst themselves out there at the NHC, as well as with the big event going on in the background. Should be some good people to catch up with and talk to, and some folks who go way back. Trey Stiles is in that group. I've lost track of the number, but the amount, a dizzying number of NHC qualifications, and somebody who's always fun to catch up with. I've had the pleasure of writing about most of the names on that list in my time at DRF, and hopefully we'll continue to be talking to a lot of them as we go forward with the podcast. We're not really doing too much writing about tournaments at the moment. There's just so much going on, but I think some interviews are very much in order, and hopefully we'll have some cool ones coming into the NHC to preview it, and then coming back out again in the aftermath. And that should be a lot of fun.
Couple of opportunities coming up the next few days, and the on-site, there's two seats on Saturday at Tampa. If you're thinking about going to Oldsmar, you got the contest on-site, and then online Friday, there's a $100 pick and pray at horseplayers.com, and then Saturday as well, one seat per 45. This is a live contest. This is restricted. You know, these have been fun, restricted to players that have not yet qualified. And in fact, there was that fun, it was a fun story the other, was it? It was Justin Doux. Justin Doux thought his opportunity to qualify was slipping away, and then the other day he wrote a terrific little column. I
love
yesterday
that
morning. Did you see it?
I thought it was great. And I not only was it a great story about him coming through on this stated goal to make the NHC, but he also described his deft handling of horse playing and child care, which I found very and dear to my heart.
Exactly. He was at, you know, he was at one of those bouncy jump joints, you know, where the kids are allowed to, you know, basically kill each other, you know, with marginal refereeing, and he's using the free Wi-Fi, and he managed to qualify.
Yeah, brilliant. As they were. It was great stuff. He'll be a nice addition. I've been enjoying reading his perspective on things on his Lone Speed blog over there for sure.
Pretty funny. Well, horseplayers.com and horsetourneys.com for the online opportunities. Plenty to come here over the 3 weeks, and then, you know, there's some people that are intrepid and they come to Vegas hoping that they'll win their way in the last chance qualifier the day before. And
that's a great deal. Yeah. The last chance, and when they do the first chance, those are, unless it's changed, those are typically all prize money added, as long as it's not going to distract you. I mean, if you're not an experienced tournament player, if it's your first NHC or something, I'd say, you know what, maybe skip that and work on your preparation. But if you're feeling good about your ability to prepare, go ahead and get involved in that, because you won't find many better opportunities. Make sure, I haven't seen the odds yet, we were talking about it before, but make sure also to get down to the sports book and just have a little bit of fun looking at the prices on some of the tournament players whose names you recognize. Maybe you can find a betting opportunity in there. I think the Tampa contest you mentioned, Steve, is, I think that's sort of like a first chance, last chance. I think you can apply that either to this year's event or to next year's, because it comes up so close. And then, of course, we've got the big Pegasus tournament coming up. It's a crazy, fun, busy time.
Well, Pete, we will see about, you know, some of those dwindling chairs for Vegas, and there's also, of course, opportunities, I think, you know, really, even before we get to Vegas, Pegasus Challenge, which has become a minor major.
Absolutely. I mean, really, in terms of opportunities, if you want to talk expected value, that's the tournament for you. All that, as it with our World Horse Players Tour events, in that one, all the prize money added, and that just creates an amazing situation. Terrific story coming out of it last year with Eddie Olczyk getting the job done, and I'm very excited to follow along. I will be following from afar, going to be on TV over in the UK doing the new Sky Racing channel, my debut in the new West London studios. I'm excited to get out there and check it out, so I won't be on hand, but I have a feeling I'll be on the phone that Monday with the winner, and hopefully be able to continue to cover that on the podcast, and of course talk about it here with you on At the Races.
Well, and Pete, I appreciate it as always. We'll hurdle forward, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good, my friend. Thanks as always.
Pete Fornital, Looms Boldly, everybody, and the new podcast, and subscribe. And Pete, remind them how they, you know, for those that haven't found it yet.
Absolutely. If you're on iTunes, if you're an iPhone person, Mac person, In the Money Players Podcast, if you search for that on iTunes, you'll find it. And then if you go to the show page, which is basically my new blog, inthemoneypodcast.com, you'll find a host of links. If you have any trouble at all, you can contact me through inthemoneypodcast.com, and I'll make sure you get sorted out with the show. Twice a week, Tuesday, we recap what happened the previous weekend. Sometimes we have guests, like with Dave Goodfriend last week. Fridays, typically, we are looking ahead. Sometimes we'll have guests then as well. Listener emails, that type of thing. We love interacting with listeners. JK and I there all the time, and then a rotating cast of guests. Please come check us out, inthemoneypodcast.com, and thank you, Steve.
Pete Fornital, everybody, Looms Boldly, and we'll take a time out here. We'll come back and be joined by Alan Foreman. I see the news is dropping and being spread around the Internet for the Match Series 2019 back again. And, of course, it came back from an extended layoff and was an instant hit. There's some nuance and a couple of interesting little changes with the host racetracks. The Mid-Atlantic racetracks involved are each going to have a big day that is going to be a match day on track. That's the big wrinkle. Then there's some other associated pieces of news, and Alan will join us next to talk about it. Match series back for 2019 after its successful reintroduction last year. Back after this, Sid Fernando ahead as well. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll talk to Steve Askin a day earlier than normal, and Seth Merrow, who will be aglow about his Orangemen. And really, aren't we all Orange fans when it comes to beating Duke? Honestly, how can you not? How can you not be happy? It's always a great day. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, Express Bet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm talking people about the same old game. They're running them numbers and the winners have a shame. The dice is loaded and the deck is stacked. The game itself will hold you back. Check out your mind and don't be blind to the numbers. Don't be in the dark.
back at the races trying to grab Alan Foreman, who's probably actually, how much media? I'm going to say might be doing some media, but. You know, it's not exactly, it's not like the Today Show's calling, I don't think. oh, okay, you got, of course he was going to be on. How could he not know? The match series, the Mid-Atlantic Thoroughbred Championships, back, and the announcement dropping this morning, and Alan Foreman, of course, presiding over it and coordinating all the efforts of all the horseman groups that are involved and the five racetracks that will host big special match series days. Alan, happy that you're back. Happy Match comes back a second year in a row after it being reignited, and some nice new wrinkles.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we're very excited. As I said in the press release, it's a monstrous undertaking to get five tracks, the horsemen's organizations, the breeders, all to come together to try to put a series together that coordinates races and, you know, finding the right purse levels and getting the bonus money and coordinating with management, do the marketing. It's an enormous undertaking, but it never ceases to amaze me, and I can't overstate it enough, the remarkable cooperation amongst the various stakeholders in the region to make something like this happen. And they did it this year, and we've got some new wrinkles, and I think it's just going to make the series better. We've talked to many of the horsemen in the region. We talked to the participants last year, and we've just made some changes that we think are going to make the series better and stronger.
We'll go over those nuances in a moment. Reiterate or give us a feel for, you know, what kind of discussions came out of last year's reignition. There were some scoring questions at the end, and you know, a couple of different things that were a little confusing. But talk about the feedback and how it played into the way in which it manifests itself for 2019.
Well, you know, when we brought it back last year, we had been on hiatus for 16 years. I wasn't even thinking that the series would come back until a number of people had started talking it up. So we decided to go with the traditional way we had done the series back in the late 90s, early 2000s, which was five divisions, five races in each division, and we were rotating the series around the region. We had grade two, grade three stakes races. It was a very high-end series, and we didn't know if we could duplicate that, so we figured we'd get our feet wet, we'd go back to the traditional way we've done the series and see what happens. What we didn't predict was the terrible weather in the Mid-Atlantic last summer, which just really wreaked havoc on the series, particularly with the turf races. But we learned some other things. We started on Preakness Day last year and Black Eyed Susan Day. And while it was a big hit from a marketing standpoint, you get a lot of horses that come in for Preakness weekend with a number of the leading trainers in the country. We then take those horses. They run in that series races, but they take them elsewhere. They go to Saratoga, and they go back to Florida. They scatter. And that doesn't help the series. We want horses that are going to contest the series throughout. So we learned last year that it's probably a mistake to do it on a day like Preakness Day or Black Eyed Susan Day when you want the Mid-Atlantic competition. We also learned that we get a different caliber of horse when we run graded races in the series, and we thought to get the best competition that we should not have graded races in the series, but offer us significant purse that you're still going to get the best horses in the region. So we decided this year, for example, all the races are going to be worth $100,000. They're all stakes races. They'll all be high quality, but they won't be compromised by horses in graded races that are going to go elsewhere and have other ideas. We want to keep the horses in the series. The biggest change we made this year, and we've talked about it before, we didn't think we could pull it off. We learned from the last day last year, which turned out to be Laurel because of weather cancellations. We ended up with what in essence was a big event day at Laurel with three of the five races at Laurel, and the handle went through the roof. And so the thinking was, what if every track had a big event day and we ran a horse in each division at each track and basically had a match series day and just moved the series from track to track, similar to what NASCAR does. And that was the monstrous undertaking in trying to card races and not have conflicts and the like. But we decided this year that every track's going to have a match series day. So the series will debut at Laurel on April the 20th, and then it'll move to Penn National on June the 1st. Then it'll move to Delaware on the 13th of July, Parks on Labor Day, September 2nd, and then Championship Day at Monmouth on September the 28th. So that combined with the fact that we reduced to four divisions, we eliminated one of the turf divisions simply because we're nervous about weather again, and we, you know, when the turf races come off the turf, it somewhat compromises the series. We figured we'd go with two dirt and two turf divisions. We looked at the stronger divisions. We've got the stronger divisions this year, and combine that, and you've got your series for 2019, and we're ready to go.
Now, and that schedule that you lay out from April to the end of September, 500,000 for each division, so $2 million total, and each of the 5 days, $400,000, and then there's the bonuses. Lay out the bonus structure that's involved.
Well, and that's really what drives the series is the bonus structure, because the horsemen's organizations have put up $375,000 in bonus money. And in each division, the top 3 point earning horses earn bonus money. So the winner of each division, the owner gets $20,000, the trainer gets $15,000, and then it scales down for second and third. And that's in each of the divisions. And then the overall, the horse that earns the most points in the series, the owner wins a $50,000 bonus, and the trainer wins a $25,000 bonus. In addition, the breeders' organizations in the region have all put up $10,000 for a breeder's bonus. So the breeder of the top-earning colt gelding gets a $5,000 bonus, and the top-point-earning filly mare gets $5,000. So it gets everybody invested in the competition. It's fun. It's great money. As if you look back at 2018, how the money was spread out throughout the region, and I just think people really, really enjoyed it, and we got a great reception from the betting public. So I really think we were onto something.
Well, and I'm just looking at that bonus money distribution, and the Maryland breds, Pennsylvania and Jersey breds, and then Delaware certified. So technically, you know, somebody could have a PA bred that is Delaware certified. They can would they be able to double dip?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Nice. So $10,000 potentially. Nice. Nice.
And, you know, I think we've got, the marketing we do, I think we do an extraordinary job with the marketing. You know, I used to like to say that we slay an elephant with a pea shooter with the amount of money that we have to work with. I think we're very creative. The people love the logo. We have a great website. I really invite people to take a look at the Match Series website. I think it's one of the best in the industry. And it's a great way to follow the series. And we'll market and promote a little differently this year because of the big event days. But I think that they will help to drive handle, which is what this is about. And what we're looking to do and put together, and you know, you have to work through the regulatory structure of the different states. But we're looking to do a pick four with each of the big event days with a reduced handle.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll get the bettors invested in this thing too.
Well, and you know that actually you lead into two questions. Being these big event days, I'm sure that most of these will have the opportunity to tie in handicapping contests on track. Monmouth, you know, which has them, you know, throughout the year, so Monmouth certainly will. Then the other question that pops in my head, I guess more down the road to some degree, Alan, you got to be thinking how Colonial fits into this for 2020.
It's interesting you asked that question because we were approached by Colonial several weeks ago. You know, when Colonial has been down, the Maryland racing industry has helped to support and continue to support the Virginia racing industry until they could get themselves back on their feet. So one of the things that we reached out to them about was the, you know, they're going to run, a 15-day meet this year from early August until just around Labor Day. And what we try to do with the series is avoid competition within the region so that the series really benefits and tracks aren't carding races on top of Mad Series races in the division. So we reached out to Colonial just to make them aware. And their response was, you know, we'd love to join the series this year. Unfortunately, we were so far along in the planning, and they're still in their planning stages, that sure, it was really too late for us to bring Colonial in. But we have reached out to them, and we've told them that we would embrace them next year. And I think you can expect to see Colonial in the series next year, assuming that we, you know, renew the series for 2020. And I certainly am optimistic about that.
Very nice. And, of course, one piece of news from the weekend that I didn't get a chance to mention now that I'm thinking of it. Jill Byrne added to the team, the Revolutionary Racing team, and John Marshall announcing that Jill will be the vice president of racing. And she leaves the Breeders' Cup for this role and basically goes home, more or less. She's a legend red herself.
It's nice to see them coming back. It's going to be interesting to see how they fit into the landscape and how they fit into the schedule and how they can be successful. You know, it's a tough time of the year in August, September, with all the competition in the region for horses. But we want them to succeed. We want them to do well. And we welcome them back. They were an original partner in the Mad Series. We used to go down to Colonial.
Sure.
Always remember Sam Huff. Sam Huff loved the series, and Sam Huff was a winner of the series, and he was one of our biggest boosters. So I have great memories of going down to Colonial many years ago. So, you know, but I, you know, that said, I can't say enough about the folks at each of the participating tracks. You know, Laurel, Delaware Park, Parks, Penn National, Monmouth Park, all their teams were coming together to make this thing happen. It's really one of the really great things that I've experienced in the industry over the years. See them all working together to make something happen.
Yeah, it's a absolutely flies in the face of the, you know, the supposed inability of you know, the industry stakeholders working together. This the coordination involved, you know, when you see the way the schedule and knowing how much goes into it, it's a great accomplishment, Alan. And looking forward to these races, looking forward to the big days. Try to get to maybe to a couple of them. In fact, looking at this schedule, it's pretty. It's actually, well, can't go to Laurel. We'll already be in Churchill by April 20th. But maybe a trip out to Grantsville, and absolutely we can.
And they do a great job, by the way, at Penn. They do a great job. The Governor's Cup will be run that day, but they do a great job, and they get a big, lively, young crowd there. I was really blown away last year when I went up for our first Mad Series event up there. That is a very jumping place, and I think that's going to be a really successful day for us. I just think all the tracks are going to do a great job, and the horsemen's organizations, I mean, they're such incredible supporters of this thing, and they really, to the extent that track management needs help on this, they really step to the plate, and I can't say enough about them also.
Well, so many people involved, the five tracks, of course, Laurel, Penn National, Delaware, Parks, and Monmouth, and then the THA members, Delaware and New Jersey, and the Pennsylvania HBPA, the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association, Jersey, and Delaware. I mean, just really, when you see all the names and all the parties involved, it's a testimony to, you know, the industry working together. And Alan will get people to visit MatchSeries.com, and we'll coordinate some handicapping action, and on each of these 5 days on the weekend preview shows as well. So I appreciate you visiting, and hope it's a great 2019 for not just for Match, but for THA and for Maryland and everything you're involved in. That would take a whole nother segment.
but you know, Steve, we really appreciate your support also, and you've been a great supporter of the series. We look forward to working with you, and I can tell you that all of the Match partners very much appreciate your support.
No, it's my pleasure. Match 2019, without fail,
thanks.
We're going to have some fun. Alan Foreman, everybody, let's take a top of the hour break. We come back. Sid Fernando rolls in, and we'll do some Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. There was a really fun conversation starter. Sid's friend, Francis Karen, brought up the other day on Twitter about color dominance, and they were comparing some progeny notes based on color, notably chestnut, and American Pharaoh discussed, and so forth. And I asked Sid, I said, it's something that I think people, you know, would be interested in. So one of our topics when Sid joins us next, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Steve Haskin to follow as well. And, of course, Sid and Steve were together at DRF at one time in the 90s. Back after this. Hour two at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, ExpressBet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey! Hang up the phone! You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.